Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Ayin Tet Amud Aleph, 8 lines down. The Gemara is quoting from the Mishnah that there's a distinction between other korbanot and the korban haPesach. By the korban haPesach, if nitma haBasar, the basar is tamei, it disqualifies the korban haPesach because the achilat of korban Pesach is so integral, as we saw in yesterday's daf. On the other hand, with the regards to other mukdashim, as long as there's a kezayit of chelev of the fats that go on the mizbeach, or a kezayit basar that can be eaten by Adam, either one of those is sufficient to permit a zrikat hadam. And the Gemara asks, matnitan mani, who's the author of our Mishnah that says that? Rabbi Yeshua he. It is Rabbi Yeshua. We saw the machlok between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua before. Rabbi Eliezer believes that yafilu ein basar, yesh dam. There is zrikat dam even without basar. But over here we see the requirement either for basar or chelev, and that comes from Rabbi Yeshua's shita, which is that im ein basar, ein dam. So you need the basar. We'll have to explain the other half of his shita, which the Gemara will do now, as to why chelev suffices as well. The Tanya, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, kol hazvachim shebetorah, all korbanot in the Torah, shenishtayer mehem kezayit basar, if there remains for them at least a kezayit of basar, o kezayit chelev, or a kezayit chelev that would go on the mizbeach, zoreket hadam, that permits you to put the dam on the mizbeach, that permits you to do the zrikat hadam. Kechatzi zayit basar, u kechatzi zayit chelev, if you only have a half zayit worth of basar, and a half zayit of chelev, even though together they add up to a kezayit, ein zorekat adam, you don't do zrikat adam because they are not mitzdareif, that is because he learns it from im ha'chol ye'achel, b'shtei achilot ha'katuv midaber, speaks about two achilot, one is achilat adam and achilat mizbeach, and they are considered to be separate paths to the zrikat adam, and therefore if you have a kezayit of basar or a kezayit of chelev, it suffices, but half of each will not help you in this instance. Uba'ola, but when it comes to a korban olah, afilu kechazit by zayit basar uchatzi zayit chelev zoreket adam. By the korban olah, there's no distinction between achilat adam and achilat mizbeach because minhei shekula kalil. It all goes on the mizbeach. Everything is achilat mizbeach. In that case, basar and chelev are going to the same achilah. And if that's the case, they can be added together. They can be mitzdareif to get you to the kezayit that you need in order to do the zrikat adam. Ubeminchan, here we seem to have a non sequitur. If you have a mincha, fopishu kulu kayemet, even if the entire thing is extant, lo yizrok, you can't do zrikat adam. And the Gemara asks right away about that statement, mincha ma'avita. What is the mincha doing over here? What is the meaning of a mincha in the context of zrikat adam? There is no zrikat adam by a mincha. So Amar Rav Papa, minchat nisachim. We're speaking about a minchat nisachim, which is the mincha that comes along with a korban. Salkadatcha, I mean, I would have thought, kevin deka'achi mikoach zebach, the reason or what precipitates the obligation to bring a minchat nisachim, a libation, the mincha and the libation that go along with the korban, is the korban itself. That's what triggers it. It's found in Parshat Shlach, where it enumerates the proper minchat nisachim to be brought with each korban. So we would have thought, kegufei dezevach dami, since it's triggered by the korban, it should be considered as if it is part and parcel of the korban itself. And therefore, if it is made afterwards, maybe that would be sufficient grounds to do the zrikat adam. Kamash malan, that is not the case, that only things that are a part and parcel of the korban itself, if they remain, will they permit you to do zrikat adam, and that means you need either kezayit basar or kezayit chelev, the minchat nisachim will not be sufficient grounds to continue to do zrikat adam if there isn't basar or chelev. Now the Gemara says, chelev min olan. How do you know that chelev also has this same factor? Meaning that we learned previously in the Gemara with regards to basar that Rabbi Yeshua learned from the pasuk in Parashat Re'eh, Rasita olotecha basar v'adam, that the dam was dependent on the basar. But where do we know also that chelev could suffice and that the dam is dependent on it and it would work? So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yochanan says in the name of Rabbi Yishmael, whenever the Gemara uses Mishum instead of Amalei, it means that he heard it in his name, but he didn't necessarily hear it directly from that individual. He may never have met that individual. Here we're speaking of Rabbi Yochanan, who is a first-generation Amora, and Rabbi Yishmael, who is a Tana. Mataba mishum Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, and some suggest that it wasn't Rabbi Yishmael, but Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya that Rabbi Yochanan had the Masorah from. Damar Kra, the pasuk says in Parshat Achrei Mot, Zarak HaKohen et Adam Amizbach Hashem Petach Omoed, he'll do the Zrikat Adam on his Beach, that's before Hashem, V'iktir HaChelev the Reach Nicholach LaHashem, and he'll put the Chelev onto the Mizbeach as a sweet scent or offering before Hashem. So you see here a correlation between Zarak HaKohen et Adam, Zrikat Adam, and V'iktir HaChelev, if there's Chelev that goes on the Mizbeach. So there is a correlation between Chelev going on the Mizbeach and the Dam going on the Mizbeach. And therefore, chelev afopi she'en basar. So now we have chelev even if there is no basar, because there in the pasuk basar is not mentioned, just chelev by itself. And just like we had a sito lotecha basar v'adam, over there basar is mentioned without chelev, so basar can trigger zrikat adam, or chelev can trigger zrikat adam. Ashkechan chelev, that works for the fats that go on the mizveach. Yoteret ha-kaveid u'shtei ha-klayot, the additional fats that go besides the majority of the fats that go on the mizbeach, there's also the items that are connected to the liver, the extension of the liver, ushtei akvayot, or the fats that are around the kidneys, minolan, that if you had that as a residual, that would be sufficient grounds to do zrikat adam if that chelev remained. Heche amrinan dizarkinan. First of all, you make an assumption that you could do zrikat adam with these items. You're asking us what the source for that is. How do you know that even works? Midiktani, because in the bright it says, umimincha, by the minchat nisachim, as we explained it now, that would not suffice to allow you to do zrikat adam. But the implications from that are mincha hu delo. Only a mincha can't do this. Aval yoteret hakaved ushtei klayot shaper dami. But a teret hakaved or shtei klayot would be sufficient grounds in order to do the zrikat adam. Now, minolan, where do we know that from? So Rabbi Yochanan didei amar, over here Rabbi Yochanan himself gives the source for it. Not like in the previous instance where he was quoting it from others. Here he says, Amar kra, the reyach nichoach. The end of the pasuk says that it's a reyach nichoach, kol shata maleh, the reyach nichoach. Anything that is put on the mizbeach that gives that sweet offering to Hashem, that will suffice to trigger the zrikat adam. And therefore he views the tail end of the pasuk, viktira chelev, as one object, and the reyach nichoach as other objects. The reyach nichoach comes to say, not only just the main chelev, but even these ancillary fats, that are also put on the mizbeach, they would suffice to trigger the zrikat adam. And I need both of these ribuyim in order to include them. Had it just written in chelev, have I mean a chelev in? No. Only the main chelev can trigger it, but the other chelevs cannot trigger it, and that's what we were looking for. What was the source? Because even though we had the word chelev, that wouldn't suffice to teach us about yoteret hakaved and shtei klayot. So therefore, katav rachman the reyach nichoach. So that's why the pasuk says reyach nichoach, to tell you not just chelev, any other item that goes on the mizbeach will suffice. Be katav rachman the reyach nichoach. Had it just written reyach nichoach, then hav amino kol olim the reyach nichoach. Anything that goes on the mizbeach as an offering would suffice to trigger the zrikat adam, and that would be afilu mincha, meaning the minchat nesachim would also suffice in that case. Therefore, katav rachman a chelev to limit it to parts of the behemah itself that are put on the mizbeach; those could trigger the zrikat adam. So therefore, chelev works, yoter kaved works, shtei klayot works, but minchat nesachim does not work. And there is the opinion of Rabbi Yoshua that a kezayit chelev or a kezayit basar, either one will suffice to trigger zrikat adam, and he'll be the author of that position in our Mishnah. And that is also the question that Tosafot asked back on Daf Ayin Zayin, which is, why was the Gemara so certain that our Mishnah was not authored by Rabbi Yoshua, when the latter half of the Mishnah, the Sefer of the Mishnah, is clearly authored by Rabbi Yoshua. And therefore, there's good reason to believe that Rabbi Yoshua is also the author of the first half of the Mishnah. And that's Tosafot raised back then. The Re asks, why was the Gemara eliminating Rabbi Yoshua? Because we know that he is the author of the latter part of the Mishnah. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, which deals with the difference between whether the Rovet Tzibur or Tmeim, or only a minority of the Tzibur or Tmeim. Nitzma Kahal o Rubo. The entire congregation is Tamei, or a majority of the congregation is Tamei, Oshayu Kohanim Tmeim, or the Kohanim were Tmeim, and again here it would seem to be that either all the Kohanim or Rova Kohanim are Tmeim, Vakal Teorim, and the congregation is Tahor, Yasu Bituma. In both of those instances, the Korban Pesach will be brought Bituma. Now, Nitma Miuta Kal, if only a minority of the Kal are Tmeim, HaTeorim Osim Et HaRishon, anybody who's Tahor does Pesach Rishon, Vatmeim, who are the minority, are considered like individuals, are not considered to be a tzibur, and therefore osim et hasheni, they are nidche to Pesach sheni. So now in the first part of the Mishnah, there are a number of situations which will be clarified in a second in a braita, but let's just look at them individually. It says, nitma kal o rubo. If the entire kal or the robe of the kal were tmeim, then they do the korban bituma. What are the implications of that they do it bituma? What happens to the minority of individuals who are Tohorim in that case? So it would seem from the fact that we're bringing the Korban Pesach Bituma that those individuals would also be drawn along with the Tmeim, and it would be a Korban Pesach that's done Bituma. Now, the Tohorim, do they have to join the Tmeim and do it Bituma? or do they have the option to join them? Rashi later on in the Gemara says, Afilu atorim ain't tzrichim lizaher. The Torim don't have to be so careful about it, and therefore they can join in. Or on Pei Amud Aleph, he says a similar item, Af Torim im yirtzu. Even the Torim, if they choose to, they can join in. From that Rashi, it sounds like it's optional for Torim to join in with the Tumah and to do a bit Tumah. But if they choose to, they could opt out and remain Tohorim. Now, that reasoning, or whether that's true or not, might depend on why you think the minority has to do a Pesach bitumah. Is it because you have the majority is Tameh, and therefore the Miut is Batel to the majority? If the Miut is Batel to the majority, the Miut just gets drawn in, or pulled together, or pooled together with the majority, and therefore they do it bitumah. In that instance, Rashi's Shita would not be untenable, because the Miut is pulled by the Rove, and therefore they, if they choose to, they can become part and parcel of the Rove. But if they chose to stay as Tohorim, then maybe it would be okay for them to do that because they're not doing anything wrong. They're just not availing themselves of the ability to be placed along with the Rove. On the other hand, we're going to see in the Bright in a second that there's another possible reason, which is Shein Korban Sibur Chaluk, which is what the Meiri quotes on our Mishnah, that a Korban Sibur cannot be divided in half. Korban Sibur must be brought as an entity, everybody together doing the same thing. In that case, it would compel those individuals who were Torim to do it together with Beit Meim. Otherwise, it looks like when they distinguish themselves or pull themselves away, as if they're doing it as two parties or two different Korban Sibur, and it's Chaluk, and that's problematic. We'll see a sheet of Rav Yehuda in tomorrow's daf that suggests that explicitly that that's his view. And the question is, what's the view of those dissenting parties? So even if you disagree with Rabbi Yehuda about Ein Korban Sibur Chaluk, which seems to me a demand on you, you still might subscribe to this view that if the robe is Tmeim, the Miut is pulled along, and therefore you might still have the option to join the Tmeim, but you won't be compelled to do it. And so therefore the reasoning behind why the Miut is drawn into the majority will have influence on whether it is an obligation or simply an option for those individuals who are in the Miut. The second piece of the Mishnah is that when the Kohanim are Tmeim, which it makes it sound, as the Mishnah says, that the Kahal is totally Tahor. But because the Kohanim are Tmeim, and they have to process the Korban Pesach, they're going to cause Tumah to come about in the Korban Pesach. And Rashi says over there, Vafidu Tmeim Yechidim. That permission now that the Kohanim are making the Korban Pesach Tmei, now is going to be influential, not only that it allows the Tohorim to do it with Tumah, even people who are Tmei Tumata Guf will be able to join into the Korban Pesach, which is not as simple as you would think, because the Isurim are different. One's an Isur Lav, one's an Isur Karet, as will be explained in a second in the Braita that we're going to bring in the Gemara. So therefore, over here, Rashi claims that that's embedded in the Mishnah. Others believe that it's not embedded in the Mishnah, but will be explicated in the Braita that not only are the individuals who are Torim allowed now to do it bitumah and eat the Pesach bitumah, but also people who are Tamei Tumat Aguf can participate in the Korban Pesach, even though there's now a Chiyuv Karet associated with their participation. The Braita then begins in the Gemara Tan Rabbanan. Harei Shayu Yisrael Tmeim, Vikwaneim Klei Sharei Teorim. The Bnei Yisrael were Tmeim, whether it's the entirety of Kabbalah Yisrael or the majority of them, and the Kohanim and the Klei Sharet are Teorim. So the Korban itself could be processed Bitara, but the majority of the Klal is Tamei. O Shayu Yisrael Teorim, or the majority or the entirety of Klai Yisrael is Tahor, the Kohanim who Klai Sharet Tmeim. But the Kohanim and the Klai Sharet who have to process the Korban Pesach, they are Tmeim. Vafil Yisrael v'Kohanim Torim. Or even in a situation where Klai Yisrael and the Kohanim are all Torim, who Klai Sharet Tmeim. But the utensils that you need to process the Korban Pesach are Tmeim. Yasu bitumah. All of these Korbanot have to be done bitumah. And here the Braita gives the reason, She'en Korban Tzibur Chaluk. Because a Korban Tzibur cannot be divided. So over here, Rashi seems to indicate when it says, "Ein akitz korban sibur chaluk haba betumah chaluk miachar shekorban ruban ba betumah." Since it's being brought in the majority betumah, then afa yachid ose betumah. So to the yachid would seem to be compelled to do that. So if that's the reason behind the braita, it would seem that the individual is compelled to do it because we don't want you separating away from the tzibur. Now, if that's the same reasoning in the Mishnah, then you probably say the same thing about the Mishnah, that it must be that the Yachid joins the majority. But if you say our Mishnah might have a different reason, which is that the Rove governs, and not that because Ein Korban Tzibur Chaluk, you might actually come out with a different view, which is the Braita that believes you are compelled to have the Yachidim join the majority or Tmeim. And our Mishnah says that it's an option. They can opt into it, but they don't necessarily have to opt into it. Amar Rav Chisda, lo shanu ela shenitma hasakim b'tamei met. The only time where the klei sharet will be influential over here is when the knives that are used for the shechita. This is interesting discussion in the Balei Tosafot and a number of places in Shas as to whether the knife that is used for the shechting of the korban has to be a klei sharet. Because if it is a klei sharet, it would have to be made out of metal. It wouldn't give you the option necessarily to use it with wood. Also, the fact that a guzar can do the avoda, does that somehow have implications for whether the utensil is a klei sharet or not a klei sharet? And Tosfot over there comes up with a somewhat compromised position, which is that it might not be a full-fledged klei sharet, but it still has standards by which it must be upheld. And therefore over here, if the sakin was metal, then the metal is influential because the Rachmana Amar b'chalal cherev. Cherev harehu k'chalal. This is a principle that's found by the din of Para Duma, but it's talking about tumata mate. And by tumata mate, generally when it comes to tuma, as tuma is passed from party to party or object to object, it drops a level of tuma. But there is one exception to that rule, and that is chalal cherev. That means that a corpse that comes into contact with metallic objects, the corpse is an avi avota tuma. It makes the metallic object an avi avota tuma. The tuma doesn't drop a level, it maintains or stays at that same level. Same is true with someone who came into contact with the corpse. They are a tamei mate, and they are an av hatuma. If they come into contact with metallic objects, those metallic objects become like them, an av hatuma, and don't drop down a level. Now, if that's the case, it's now the knives who have touched someone who is tamei mate. Those knives now are an av hatuma. If they're an av hatuma, kametame the gavra, they can then be metame other individuals. And abatuma is strong enough to be metame kelim, adam, and obviously ochlim and mashkim. But what's important to us here is that when the kohanim or whoever's going to shech the korban is going to come into contact with these knives, those people are going to become tmeim. They're going to become tmeim. Then they're going to have influence over the fact that this korban now is being brought ala rov by people who are tmeim. Dimi kara, because now at the outset kimit aved betumata guf de karet kamit aved. There's a problem with this korban because you're bringing it betumata guf because of individuals who touch the knives become tamei as a rishon tuma. They will then be precluded from coming into contact with the korban of Pesach. But since the majority of individuals now have the same predicament or problem, therefore we permit it. Now their permission is that even though they are tamei tumata guf, we allow them to go forward. Now there's a chiyuv karet for one of two reasons when you have tumata guf. According to the Balei Tosafot, it's because you're not allowed to enter into the Mikdash when you're tamei tumata guf. So over here, entering into the Mikdash to process the Korban is a chiyuv karet, and we're going to permit that here, despite the fact that it's normally asur, because the Rov HaTzibur, where the knives are all tmeim, are going to have to become tmeim in order to shech their Korban of Pesach. Since we're waiving tumata guf, we're going to waive it entirely for everybody in these situations. That's the way Tosafot learns it. If you look in the Rabbeinu Hananel, he suggests that the chiyuv karet is associated with eating the korban. Someone who has tamei tumata guf, who eats a korban, is chayav karet for eating bitumata guf. And that's the tuma that we're speaking about here. These individuals shech the korban and they're going to eat it later. They're going to have to eat the korban of Pesach bitumata guf. And therefore the chiyuv karet, or waving of the chiyuv karet, has already been reached. Aval. On the other hand, nitma sakim bitumat sheretz, if the knife only became tamei bitumat sheretz, which the sheretz is an ava tuma, and when it touches the knife, it makes the knife a rishon netuma, de basaru de metamele. That knife will be metame the korban, because a rishon netuma can affect ochlim mashkim, so it can affect the korban that is being shechted, but gavra lo metamele. But it cannot affect the individual, because the individual can only become tame from an avatuma. This is already a rishon netuma, and using that knife will not affect them at all. So therefore, tahorim avid, tameim lo avid. Then only people who are tahor can do the korban of Pesach, and not the tameim. The difference being is because mutav yochal betumat basar belav, better that they eat the basar, which is tamei. If a korban becomes tamei and an individual consumes that korban when they are tehorim, that individual is only chayav for a lav or violating a lav. And that is because it says, v'basar sheyigah b'chol tamei, any basar kodesh that comes into contact with something that's tamei, lo ye'achel ba'esh yisareif. Don't eat it. That's the lav. It should be burnt. So now, that lav is only simply a lav. Va'yochal basar b'tumata guf should be karet. The other individuals who are part of Klal Yisrael who have tumata guf, they shouldn't participate because then they'd be violating a din of karet, which is someone who has tumata guf and eats a korban is in violation of a din of karet, because a nefesh asher tuchal basar mizevach shlamim asher l'shem b'tumato alav, and he is tamei, He has a chiyuv karet. So what you see from here is that the dispensation to allow the korban to go betumah, it has to be requisite to the level of tumah that is the problem for the other individuals. People who are tamei mate, the problem that they have, either according to the Baya Tosafot, is that they can't enter into the mikdash without being chayav karet. According to the Rabbeinu Chananel, they can't eat the korban without being chayav karet. So only if we have a situation in which the majority must do this be tumata guf, then we will waive it for everyone, and the rov will govern in that case. And therefore, everybody who is tamei, whether they're torim or they are tamei b'tumata guf, will be permitted to participate in the korban of Pesach, because there's no way to process the korban of Pesach in a manner that will not cause tumata guf to the majority of the participants. And that's when the knives are tamei tumata mate through halal cheriv, and they remain in avatumah. On the other hand, if the korban can be processed in such a way where the individuals will not be compelled to become tamei, and only the korban itself will be compelled to be tamei, over there we're going to waive the problem of tumat basar for those individuals who are participating in the korban. That's only for people who are tahorim, because the people who are tahor, their violation when they eat the basar that's tamei will be alav. Now, yes, that's waived, because the majority of people must do that, because the knives are tamei through tumat asheretz, and now they're rishon in the tumah. So using the knives will compel us to make the korban tamei, but it doesn't compel us to make the individuals tameim. And those individuals who are tamei tumat guf, they'll have to wait to do it big Pesach sheni, because they don't have permission to violate the chiyuv karet. The permission or the rov here is only to violate an iser lav. And from this, the Gemara concludes, Alma must be kasavar of chista. The Rav Chista believes tuma duchuyahi b'tzibur, that when it comes to tuma and tzibur, it's simply a suspension. It's not a complete erasure or elimination of the problems of tuma. Had it been that it was tuma hutra b'tzibur, then we wouldn't worry about trying our best to limit the levels of tuma or limit the violations. We just say, okay, the tzibur had to do it b'tuma. It doesn't matter what tuma. Everything is waived. Everything goes now. There is no consideration of tuma at all. On the other hand, if you believe tuma duchuya b'tzibur, it has dispensations. It has suspensions that are temporary based on the need or the necessity. And therefore, if we can do it in a way that minimizes the violations or minimizes the tumah created over here, then we're going to do that. And that's exactly what Rav Chista is suggesting, that only when the knives are a level of ava tumah do we say that everybody can do it, and we don't consider the tumah, whether it's tumah basar or tumah taguf. But the knives are only a level of rishon the tumah. Over there, then, tumah basar will be waived, but tumah taguf will not be waived, because we're trying to minimize the violations in the tumah in these situations. So it must be that he holds tumah duchuya b'tzibur. And so too, Rabbi Yitzchak agrees with this position. Again, it's machloket in the Gemara in the beginning of Yoma and Daf Vav Zayin, as to whether it's duchuya or hutra. And both of these Amoraim believe that it is only duchuya bitzibur. Now Tosafot, taking off on this, says that maybe we could be more careful in general with regards to the tumah. You're telling me here it's tumah duchuya b'tzibur, and if you can be careful to avoid tumah, we should. Then let's look at the case where the kohanim are tmeim. So when we say that the kohanim are tmeim, we say you do it b'tumah, because we're compelled to everything to become tamei, because those that are processing the korban pesach are going to make it tamei. Well, if he says, wait a minute, maybe they could just avoid touching the basar. You can have the shechita be done by a zar, by an Israel who's tahor, and then the kabbalat adam can be done without touching the animal. It can be hefshet, the flaying of the animal. And the removing of the fats can be done by someone who is tahor, and then pass the kohen as tamei. So the only thing that has to become tamei are the emurim, which have to be carried by the kohen up to the mizbeach. So why can't we minimize the tumah here and say, don't touch the basar, don't make the basar tamei, and therefore those people that are participating in the korban pesach can eat a korban pesach that is tahor, and will waive the tumah with regards to making the emurim tameim. So Tosafot says, afal pi sheyecholim lizeher shelo yigu b'basar, since the tumah of the emurim is already waived, we also waive the tumata basar, because the basar and the chelev, as we saw in the beginning of today's Gemara, are paralleled. There is a equation of symmetry between them, and therefore we're already waiving tumah for the emurim, the achilat mizbeach. We'd also waive it for the tumata basar, for the achilat adam. Number two, Tosafot says is, well, if the problem here is that the sakinim, the knives, are going to make everybody tamei, and the problem according to the Baya Tosafot is that you're not allowed to enter the mikdash while you have tamei tumat guf, he says, why don't we just get a bunch of long knives? They can stand outside the azara, And in standing outside the Azara, they could shecht the Korban while the Korban's inside and they're on the outside, and then they won't violate the issue of Karet. That is, happens to be a machloket in the Gemara in Zvachim, I think on Daf Lamed Zayin, as to whether you can shecht the Korban when you're standing outside the Azara, but the Korban is in the Azara. But assuming that you could do that, that would be another way to minimize the problems of Karet over here. Or you could hold the knife with some sort of wooden handle or psute kli eitz that would make it that it wasn't mikabel tuma. So the Ri says, ein pnai. There's not enough time to shecht all the korbanot with this modification. It's such a difficult modification, or the necessity to replace all the knives is just too much that we don't insist on it because it's just not a plausible solution, and we're going to have to do some of them bituma, and therefore we don't try even to do it in a minimized situation because it's just not a proper solution to the problem. So now Rova Amar, afilu tmeim nami abde. Now it seems to be that Rova is following the previous views of Rav Chista and Rav Yitzchak that it's tumah dechuya b'tzibur, but despite that he says that you can still have those people that are tumah tumat aguf join in the Korban HaPesach, even when the knife is only a rishon the tumah touched tumat hasheretz, my taima. That is because of the pasuk that we just quoted before, which is dechtev v'basar sheri ga b'chol tamei lo ye achel ba'esh yisareif. Basar that becomes tamei, then it cannot be eaten, that's the lav, and it needs to be burnt. Va'basar. But if the basar is good, kol tahor yochal basar, then someone who's tahor should eat the basar. And he says, there is a hekesh between the tumat aguf and the tumat basar. Kol heched lo karinim be basar sheyigah b'chol tamei lo yachel. In our instance, we're going to waive the problem of the tumat basar, and we're not going to say the beginning of the pasuk is true. But basar sheyigah b'chol tamei lo yachel, that's not true. Here it is going to be eaten. So there is no invoking of the first half of the pasuk. Then if there's no invoking the first half of the pasuk, then the second half of the pasuk doesn't apply either, which is lo karinim be basar kol tahor yochal basar. Then there's no necessity that the basar only be eaten by a tahor, meaning that we basically waive tumat aguf in that case. When you say you're not allowed to eat the basar that is tamei, then we compel you to bring the people who are tohorim to eat it. But in a case where we don't worry about the tumat basar, we're also not going to worry about tumat aguf. And he suggests, even if tumah is dechuya b'tzibur, you could still allow for those people that are tamei tumat aguf to participate in the Korban HaPesach, even though the only problem here is that the knives are tamei from tumat hasheretz, and they're all rishon the tumah, and they're going to make the Korban Pesach tamei. And yes, the only violation that is necessary is to eat that Korban Pesach be tumat basar, which is a lav, will still allow people with tumat aguf to participate with the Korban HaPesach, even though that's a chiyuv karet, because the two are intertwined. And since they're intertwined, when I waive one of them, I'm going to waive the other one. So if there's no restrictions against eating basar that is tamei, there's also no restrictions against someone with tumat aguf consuming the Korban HaPesach or participating in the Korban HaPesach, and according to Tosfot, entering into the Mikdash, and therefore everybody can participate in this Korban HaPesach b'tumah. Itmar, harei shayu Yisrael mechsa torim u'mechsa temeim. What happens if they are exactly 50-50? 50% of the kahal is tahor, 50% are temeim. What do we do in that case? Rav amar mechsa mechsa kerov. Rav says 50-50 is like a rov. That means that both 50% are a rove. You have two roves over here, and that will explain in 1 second what that means. Rav Kahana amar, mechsa mechsa enu kerov. Have 50-50 is not a rove, and that means you have two miutim here. You have two minorities over here. Rav amar, mechsa mechsa kerov. Halalo osim latzman. Valalo osim latzman. Each group does their own Korban HaPesach. The individuals who are tmeim, they're now the rove of Klal Yisrael, even though they're only 50%, because you view 50% as if it's the rove. Since they're rove, they're allowed to do it bituma. They don't get pushed off the Pesach Sheni, they do it in Pesach Rishon. The Torim, on the other hand, they can't join those people who are Tmeim, because we have a majority of people, 50% that are Torim, and therefore they have an obligation to do it B'Tahara. And therefore, according to Rav, they do it independently. Those that are Torim do it B'Tahara, and the Tmeim, who are also a majority, are not pushed off the Pesach Sheni, and they do their own Korban HaPesach, but they will not compel the Torim to join them. They can't compel the Torim to join them because the Torim are a majority as well. Whereas according to Rav Kahana, Amar, Mechsa, Mechsa, Enukarov. Therefore, Torim asim et harishon. The Torim, who are a minority in the Rishon, they do the first Korban HaPesach. The Tmeim osim et hasheni. And the Tmeim, who are a minority as well, they're not the Rov at Tzibur, so they can be pushed off the Pesach Sheni, and they'll do Pesach Sheni. So Torim, of course, can do it in Pesach Rishon, Because had they been overwhelmed by Tumah, they would have been able to do the Korban. So certainly if they're doing it B'tara, they should be okay to do it. And those that are the minority of the Tumah, they're like an Ish. They're like an individual who gets Nidcheh, the Pesach Sheni. Yigad Amri Amar Rav Kahana, Mechsa Mechsa, and a Kurov. And this is the outcome. This is the Lishna Batra of Rav Kahana. Torim Osim Et HaRishon. The Torim or a minority do the Pesach Rishon because they have no reason to wait to Pesach Sheni, and they're not compelled to do it B'tumah because there's no majority that is Tumah. Utmaim enosim lo et rishon velo et sheni. And those that are Tamei, who are 50% of the individuals here, they can't do the Pesach Rishon, and they can't do Pesach Sheni. Birishon la'av, they can't do Pesach Rishon to la'av aruba. They're not the majority. And only a majority who are Tameim can compel a Korban to be brought B'tumah. B'sheni lo'av de, to la'av imiuta. And they can't do the Korban Pesach Sheni, because they're not a minority. And only a minority is allowed to bring Pesach Sheni. And here they don't qualify as a minority. So they sit somewhere between the rove and the minority, and therefore they're left in no man's land, and they can't bring not the Pesach Rishon, not the Pesach Sheni. And Tosfot says, Kasha l'riva, Ipalga mikre ish, litchu l'Pesach Sheni. If 50% is called ish, if they're defined as an ish, then they for sure should be allowed to do Pesach Sheni. Vilo mikre ish, if they're not called an individual, then they're at Tzibur. And if they're at Tzibur, they should do it the first one. Make up your mind. It has to be one or the other. You either have to be a Tzibur or an Ish. Where are you in that classification? And that will determine whether you do Pesach Rishon or Pesach Sheni. How could it be that they're in neither classification? He said, you can't say that that's the Shita of Rav Kahana. He just doesn't know where they are. And therefore, we don't know what to do with them. Because later on in the Gemara, in tomorrow's Daf, we're going to see in those situations, we would make one of the people Tamei in order to be Machriya, in order to push it to make it at the rove where the majority would be Tmeim, and then we wouldn't have any question. So the Re says, So the Re says, they're not called an Ish. It is 50%. And since they're not called an Ish, they can't be pushed off to Pesach Sheni. But they also cannot compel the Tahorim to do it in Tumah for them, because there's not a rove of Tmeim over here. And so, you can't have them do it independently, because we saw before, and Korban Tzibur Chaluk. You can't divide the Korban Tzibur in half, at least according to Rav Kahana. Rav does not subscribe to that. And therefore, according to this view of the Re, Rav Kahana believes that these individuals are not classified as an Ish. Since they're not classified as an Ish, they can't be pushed off to Pesach Sheni. But they can't do Pesach Rishon because they can't do it independent of the other group. The other group are Tahorim. And since they're not the majority, they can't compel the other group to join them to do the Korban Pesach. And that would condemn create a situation when you have Torim doing it and Tmeim doing it independently, and he believes that you can't do that, you can't divide the Korban Pesach in half, and that's why according to this Lishna Bracha of Kahana, the individuals are Tmeim, don't do a Pesach Rishon, and they don't do a Pesach Sheni. Tanan, our Mishnah, Nitma Kal Urubo, Oshihu Konim Tmeim, Vakal Teorim, Yasu Bituma, Rubo Hu David Bituma. Sounds like from there that if you have a clear majority Bituma, then you do a Bituma. Of Apalgo, the diuk would be, if it was 50-50, lo avdi b'rishon. You wouldn't do Pesach Rishon. Kasha the Rav. There'd be a problem for Rav, who says when you have 50-50, they do Pesach Rishon. Samalacha Rav, ruba avde kulu bituma. Now when it comes to the rove, all of them do it bituma, and this is one of the Rashis we quoted before, which is that they don't have to do it bituma, but they have the option to do it bituma. Palgo, halolo osim letzman, halolo osim letzman. On the other hand, 50-50 has a different outcome, which is that they have to stay separate. The Torim do it themselves, and the Tmeim do it themselves. And the Gemara says, Achanami Mistavra. That makes sense, because the latter half of the Mishnah, Diktani Seifa, the latter half of the Mishnah says, Nitma Miuta Kal. If only a minority of the Kal are Tmeim, Torim Osim Et HaRishon, Utmeim Osim Et HaSheni. Those that are Torah do Pesach Rishon, those that are Tamei are pushed off to Pesach Sheni. Miut Hu Davde B'Sheni. Only the Miut goes to the Sheni. Aval, the Diyuki would make was Palgo Balgo, lo! They would not be pushed off to Pesach Sheni, v'avdi b'rishon, they do it on Pesach Rishon. V'alalo osim letzman, v'alalo osim letzman. And they would do it independently. They both do Pesach Rishon, they just have to do it independently. So that way, according to Rav, the Mishnah is easily explained. The ratio of the Mishnah says that when it's a rove of Tumah, then everybody does it with Tumah, implying that Palga and Palga don't work that way, they do it independently. And the latter half of the Mishnah, it says that when there's a minority, they're pushed off to Pesach Sheni. The deal would be, if they weren't the minority, they were 50-50, they would stay on Pesach Rishon, and they'd both do it with Pesach Rishon. That's exactly like the Shita of Rav. The Kashel Rav Kahana. It works so nicely in the Mishnah now for Rav, that it's all of a problem for Rav Kahana, who doesn't subscribe to Rav's position. So I'm going to look at Rav Kahana. Nitmeu miut hakal tehorim osim et harishon. If the sefer where it says that a miut of the kal became tamei, then the tehorim do pesach rishon. Utmeim osim et hasheni, the tmeim do pesach sheni. Ha, the inference from that would be palga palga tehorim osim et harishon. The tehorim do pesach rishon. About tmeim, in osim lo et harishon lo et hasheni. And the dig would make is that tmeim don't do either. They're eliminated completely. Where it says hatinach lo nishna batra the Rav Kahana. That works well into the latter explanation of Rav Kahana, that in instance we had 50-50, the Torim do it on Pesach Rishon, the Tmeim don't do Pesach Rishon, they don't do Pesach Sheni, they don't do anything. That would be the deal out of the Mishnah. That only when you're a minority do you do a Pesach Sheni. If you're not a minority, even 50-50, you don't do Pesach Sheni, you don't do Pesach Rishon. Elolach Lishna, Damayra Kav Kahana, according to the first version of Kahana, the Torim osim et Rishon, Utmeim osim et Sheni, Ma'ika the Meimar. That the Torim do Pesach Rishon and the Tmeim do Pesach Sheni, that means that the latter half of the Mishnah, the safe of the Mishnah, the din should not only be true when the miut hakal is Tamei, it should also be true by Palgo Palga. It should work the same way. I mean, just like by the miut being Tmeim, they do Pesach Sheni and the Torim do Pesach Rishon, so too when it's 50-50, the Torim do Pesach Rishon and Tmeim do Pesach Sheni. That would have been a bigger Kiddush and you should have written that. The fact that it doesn't, it's Midayek, that that's not the right way to read the Mishnah. From the Harav Kahana, who adin dafilu pagol paganami. So too, in that latter half of the Mishnah, even if it was 50-50, Torim osim et harishon, utmeim osim et hasheni. Torim do Pesach Rishon, and the Tmeim do Pesach Sheni. V'hai diktani mi'ut hakal. So then why does it say only when it's a minority? I did tana resha rubo. Since in the resha it says rov. There, it's absolute. Only when it's the rov do we say that they do a bit tuma. But if it was 50-50, that would not be the case. Since there it has to be a rov, and not palga palga. Tani nami sefer miuto. The sefer uses miut as the parallel, contrasting language, even though it would even be true by palga upalga. Now the Gemara says, Tanya kavate de Rav. We have a brighter supportive of Rav's view of how to explain 50-50. Tanya kavate de Rav Kahana betrayed lishne. And we have a brightot that support both versions of Rav Kahana. Or in essence, we have three brightot. Each one of the brightot will support one of the positions that we've seen until now. Tanya kavate de Rav, we have a brighter that supports Rav's contention. Hayu Yisrael mechsa torim u'mechsa tmeim. They were 50-50. Halalo osim latzman, halalo osim latzman. That's exactly like Rav. The tmeim and torim both do Pesach Rishon. They just do it separately. Tanya kalishna kama de Rav Kahana. We have a brighter like the first version of Rav Kahana. Harei shayu Yisrael mechsa torim u'mechsa tmeim. 50% torim, 50% tmeim. Torim osim et harishon. Those that are Torah do Pesach Rishon, Utmeim osim et hasheni, and those that are Tamei do Pesach Sheni. Exactly like that first Lashon of Rav Kahana, that the Tmeim get Nidchim to Pesach Sheni when they are 50%, when they're not the Rov and they're not the minority. Tanya Kalishna Batra to Rav Kahana, and then we have a last Brayta that's like the latter version of Rav Kahana. Sharei Shuyusrael Mechza Torim and Mechza Tmeim. Again, similar case, 50-50. Torim osim et harishon. Torim do Pesach Rishon. Utmeim en osim lo et harishon lo et hasheni. And those that are Tamei don't do either. They don't do Pesach Rishon, nor do they do Pesach Sheni. Now the Gemara has to reconcile. These are Amoraim, Rav and Rav Kahana. How do they reconcile with the other Brayto? They have one Brayto that supports them, and then they have other Brayto that seemingly disagree. So the easiest answer is to say it's a Machloket Tanaim, and I hold like that Tana. But we'd prefer to have all the Tanaim mesh or fit into that position. So that's what we're going to try to do now. We're going to say, according to Rav, Ulanishna Bacha de Rav Kahana, according to Rav, and the latter version of Rav Kahana's explanation, Hadatana, the Brayta that supports the first version of Rav Kahana, which is Torim asim et harishon, utmeim et hasheni, Torim du Pesach Rishon, and Tmeim du Pesach Sheni, heiche mitartzila. How can they explain that Brayta so it's not a contradiction to their position? Kagon, they'll explain it in this way. Shayu Yisrael mechsa Torim u'mechsa Tmeim. If you see the case, 50-50, 50 Tmeim, 50 Tehorim. Vinashim, and then the women mashlimot litmeim. That 50% of tmeim is made up of both men and women. Meaning that without the women involved, the majority would be tehorim. But when the women get involved, it equalized it, meaning that there are more women that are tmeiot than are tehorot. And therefore, when they are added into the men, it becomes 50-50. Bekasavar, and that Tana believes, nashim berishon reshut, that women on the first Pesach, meaning Pesach Rishon, they're optional. They don't have to bring the Korban HaPesach. They can opt in. There's a machloket Tanaim that we'll get to later in the Masechta as to whether women are chayavot in Pesach Rishon, Pesach Sheni, or they are reshut, or is it optional in either of them. Over here, the way we're explaining it, this Tana holds it, it's optional for Pesach Rishon, and if it's optional for Pesach Rishon, it's certainly optional for Pesach Sheni. So therefore, dal nashim mitameim, you have to pull the women out of the numbers. The women are not obligated. So they can't count towards the majority or non-majority over here because they are not obligated to bring the Korban HaPesach. We have to look at those that are obligated, and those are the men. So we look at the men, we do that, the Tahorim are the majority, the Tmeim are the Miuta, and the minority will be pushed off to Pesach Sheni. And so when we look at men alone, it's going to be majority Tahor, minority Tamei, and we already know from our Mishnah, that means that the Tahorim do it on Pesach Rishon, Tmeim do it on Pesach Sheni. And why does the Braita call it 50-50? Is because when you add the women in, it's 50-50. But the women will not be influential because they only have an option to do Pesach Rishon. They're not obligated to do it. The Rav Elishna Kama de Rav Kahana. According to Rav, and the first version of Rav Kahana, Hadatanya, what do we do with the latter Braita that supports the latter version of Rav Kahana? The Torim Osim et Rishon. Torim do the Pesach Rishon. And Tmeim Ein Osim Lo et Rishon Lo et Sheni. And those that are Tamei don't do either. They don't do Pesach Rishon or Sheni. How are they going to explain it? So now here you have to split it up. Rav Mitaritz law, Rav's going to explain it in the following manner. Kugon Shayu Israel Mechsa Tmeim Umechsa Torim. Again, Klal Yisrael were 50-50 Tamei Vitor. Vinashim Odfot Ale Torim. And the women make it that it's majority Tahor. Meaning that without the women, it's a 50-50. Now, if we add the women on top of that, it makes it that they are, the majority are Tahorim. Because Savar and this Tana holds Nashim Rishon Chuva Ubisheni Rishut, that in the Pesach Rishon, women are obligated. In Pesach Sheni, it's optional for them. So Berishon Lo Avdei, in the Rishon, the Uzzer Tmeim can't do it because the majority of Klal Yisrael are obligated to bring a Korban Pesach. That means men and women are Tahorim. So that means the Tahorim do it, but Pesach Rishon. Those that are Tmeim are Nidchim, get pushed off to Pesach Sheni. Tavilei Miut, because they are the minority. Miuta Lo Avdei Berishon. And a minority who are Tmeim don't do Pesach Rishon. Ubisheni, when it comes now to look at Pesach Sheni independently, Lo Avdi, they don't do it either. Why? Because Dal Nashiminayu. The women are no longer obligated when it comes to Pesach Sheni. They're only optional there. So we take them out of the equation. If we take them out of the equation, Avalu Pago Pago. Now we're back to 50-50. Because without the women, it was 58% Tmeim, 50% Torim. Now, those that are Torim already did the Pesach Rishon. Now those that are in Pesach Sheni are the 50% of Tmeim that didn't do Pesach Rishon. Now they're no longer a minority. And since they're no longer a minority, as Rav said before, Pago Lo Avdei B'Sheni, because Rav believes that when you're 50-50, it's like you have a rove. And you can't have a rove of Klal Yisrael doing Pesach Sheni. And so for that reason, those that were Nidchei to Pesach Sheni were the men and women who were Tmeim. But if we take out the women from the equation, then calculate only based on men, it would be a 50-50. And at a 50-50, it's Kerov, according to Rav, and therefore you're not allowed to do Pesach Sheni. Ula Rav Kahana, according to the first version of Rav Kahana, Damar Paga Nami Avdei B'Sheni, that when it's 50-50, then the Tmeim also do Pesach Sheni. Hachi Mitaritzla, he'll explain the Braita in the following manner. Kugon, Shayu Yisrael Mechsa Torim Mechsa Tmeim. It was 50% Tahor, 50% Tamei. V'Nashim Mashlimoto Torim. And the women are what get you to 50-50. Without the women, it would be majority Tmeim. With the women, it's now 50-50. Because Savar is Nashim Rishon Chuva, Bushinei Rishut. And similarly, this Tana believes, like we said by Rav's explanation, that the Pesach Rishon is obligatory on the women, but it is optional with regards to Pesach Sheni. So Rishon Lo Avdei, those that are Tmeim can't do the first Pesach, Tavlu Pago Pago, because they're 50-50. Pago Rishon Lo Avdei. And according to Rav Kahana, when you're 50-50, you can't do Pesach Rishon. So those 50% that are Tmeim can't do Pesach Rishon. B'Sheni Nami Lo Avdei, the Pesach Sheni, they also can't do, because Dal Nashem Minayu Min HaTorim drop the women from the equation now. Havlu Tmeim Ruba. Then it goes back to being that the Tmeim are the majority. V'Ruba Lo Avdei B'Sheni. And the majority can't do it in the Pesach Sheni. So in that way, both the first version of Rav Kahana and Rav can explain the Braita that is supportive of the latter version of Rav Kahana, where you can't do it in Rishon and Sheni. They'll explain it by having the women be in the calculation, whereby the women are influential on the first Pesach, Pesach Rishon, but not influential in Pesach Sheni. Ul Rav Kahana, according to the latter Lashon of Rav Kahana, that says that the people that are Tmeim of the 50% don't do Rishon and don't do Sheni, Hadatanya, what is he going to do with Shari Yisrael Mechse Torim or Mechse Tmeim? Halo Osim Latzman, Halo Osim Latzman. Hei Chemitaritzlo. According to both versions of Rav Kahana, How are they going to explain the Braita that is supportive of Rav? Here he's backed against the wall and says that it has to be a machloket tanaim. That Braita I can't explain. That Braita disagrees. But I have two other Braita, depending on which lashon of Rav Kahana that you subscribe to. I have a Braita that supports each one of them, and I can explain the other Braita according to that lashon. There is a Tana like Rav who says that Mechsa Mechsa Karov. And there's another one who says that Mechsa Mechsa is not like a Rov, and I subscribe to those Tanaim, and I have two Braita that suggest something along those lines that come out with the two different versions of Rav Kahana, but he cannot explain the Braita of Rav away so that it won't be a contradiction to his position. Even though he has Tanaic support for his position, he still has to have a Tana that argues on those Tanaim that support his position. Okay, we're going to stop here, three lines from the bottom of Ayin Tayat Amud Bet.